1,800 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Which no one's like that.
They can't sell this.
No, he's still cold.
It's got to be out that water.
It's got to be out there.
Why not, huh? I said with more pull than I have.
All right, if we can begin, we've got a couple of bills on the agenda today, authored by Senator Coonan. First bill is Senate File 188. Senator Saxog moves adoption of the division report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carries. Senator.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. This bill is the prohibition of online gambling and also the digital games at fuel pumps and ATMs. The bill still allows drawing games. That would be like Powerball, the Gopher 5, and all of those types of games. It allows for the sales of those online yet, but prohibits the e-scratch-offs, the play at the pump, and ATM games. And that's pretty much the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I have a couple of questions. Having, I think, purchased lottery tickets once and maybe twice, I'm not totally familiar, but maybe I think, Mr. If you don't mind, Senator Coonan, I don't know if you have anything else to present. I think maybe Mr. Van Patten could maybe talk about this particular bill, if that would be okay, and the need for it or not the need for it. Thank you, Mr. Van Patten. You could just identify yourself for the record and just offer a little bit of perspective on Senate File 188.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, my name is Ed Van Patten. I'm Executive Director of the Minnesota Lottery. We obviously object to this bill for a number of reasons. These programs have been in place. The play at the pump and the ATM have been in place, and they're still in the pilot stage. The technology has been flawless now for about a year and a half, but it's impossible to get that statewide. You can imagine how many gas pumps there are in the state of Minnesota. And we intend to go statewide when we reach further, or when Link 3 reaches further agreement with the additional point of sale providers out there. Right now we're working with two different providers. The internet sales of electronic instant tickets have been in the market now for 1 year. We have not heard of even one call to the gambling hotline about any kind of a problem with them. We have had no issues with any players with them. We've had no reports of any harm whatsoever to any other market out there. However, obviously, the other markets or other gambling interests for some reason consider the lottery to be a competitor. The lottery is a $500 million business. Charitable gaming, I think last year, was $1.2 billion, up from the year before. No idea what the casinos gross each year. If this bill were to go into place, we feel that it would indeed violate the contract clause of the Constitution, both federal and state clause. There would be definite litigation. There would be definite damages to the vendors. In the event the state loses the lawsuit and has to found in breach of contract, we're looking at millions of dollars of damages. The lottery would have to absorb that out of its own budget, no doubt about that. where that money would come from, I can't begin to tell you, but I would imagine there would be an effect on retailers, on other vendors, on lottery marketing, and thus lottery sales. Mr. Chairman, I did not sign up to testify. I don't have any direct prepared remarks. I would be more than happy to answer questions. I'm sure people do have questions about this. The issue has been raised that the lottery is somehow acting as a retailer on the Internet. That is absolutely not true. Scientific Games is the retailer on Internet sales. Link 3 is the retailer on play at the pump and ATM sales. I can't believe or I can't begin to address all of the misinformation that has been presented with this issue and in the debate of this issue. However, there is no successful retail business in the market today that does not have a presence on the Internet. And we've seen businesses go out of business. When I first moved to Minnesota in 2012, one of the biggest stories I remember was Best Buy was foundering because they had not moved forward on the Internet. Now they are, and business is improving. There have been countless businesses that this has proven to be the case, and countless businesses that have embraced the Internet and are very successful. I think that the state of Minnesota can move forward. The Minnesota Lottery can move forward. We can work with other gambling interests in this state, and we have tried to. However, right now this seems to be at an impasse. It is... I've never seen a steamroller quite like this, I guess, in 30 years of dealing with state government. So I would be glad to stand for questions, Mr. Chairman.
And Mr. Van Patten, I don't presume to be the expert on the lottery. I guess I've been around here for a while and have experienced some of the debates and the ups and downs of the lottery, and appreciate the work you've done in a relatively short period of time here in Minnesota in terms of what you've established with the lottery and some sound business practices. I would suggest that the contrast or the analogy to Best Buy is not necessarily not well taken, except obviously that's been a debate in this building that well precedes your coming to Minnesota as to the impact of Internet sales on significant retailers compared to more locally based retailers that have not had the ability to develop Internet sales. You know, what do we do with taxation of Internet sales and so on? And so that's been a pretty significant ongoing debate taking place more obviously in the tax committee than this committee. But I don't know if this would be a fair statement, but has placed larger retailers in opposition to smaller, more home-based retailers. That could be a vast oversimplification of the issue, but I do think that there is that issue. That's just kind of an editorial comment on my part. Senator Westrom.
Well, Mr. Chair, interesting. Thank you for the comments. Senator Coonan, just a little more on the bill. Where is the push to restrict these items? And you said the online sale of lottery tickets would remain. Can you tell us the reason for drawing the line, where you've drawn the line, and how does the part that is online that's going to be allowed, how does that actually work with the customers or consumers right now?
The games that would still be allowed for online sales would be the drawing games. So you'd buy the tickets, and then it would be a few days later when the drawing takes place. And you know, I'm sure each legislator has its own, has his or her own opinion on that. But as I see it, as far as being a problem for people who have trouble with gambling, is that that delay kind of slows down the what they feel is the need to continue gambling. With the scratch-off tickets, there's more of a, in my opinion, more of a issue with instant gratification. And so that's what I see as a difference, but I'm sure that each legislator here in the House, or in the Senate and in the House, has their own opinion on that.
And so, Senator Coonan, no scratch-offs would be allowed after this bill passes, and currently are they allowed?
Yeah, that's my understanding. The e-scratch-offs are allowed, and also at the play at the pump in ATMs. Okay. And this bill would prohibit that. That's right.
So, Mr. Chair, back to my original question, just what is the talk to us a little about what are the groups out there who's pushing for this restriction? In fact that you're carrying the bill, I'm guessing you've got more of a pulse on that. I know some of the retailers, smaller stations, but have expressed some interest or concern to me, but they're also the ones that might be selling the e-pumps or the tickets at their gas pumps, and so there can be kind of two sides to that issue. They can also be the beneficiary or the retailer that has the gas pumps, and so... Talk to us a little bit more about the dynamics or who's pushing this bill for you.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senator Westrom. Well, first of all, the retailers, from what I hear from them, they're nervous about the play at the pump games because they would rather the customers come in the store. There's more of an opportunity for sales of the other products they have for sale in the store. And they could also then, if they wanted to play the lottery, do that in the store too. And the markup on the fuel out at the pump is pretty small. Is really a very small part of their business, depending upon what happens with, from what I understand talking to them, depending upon how the wholesale market is moving on fuel, if it moves the wrong way, they actually are some days when they lose a little bit of money. But even overall, the markup is really small on that, and so they have more potential for profit if they can get people in the stores. And also, it's my understanding to start with that the first setups on the pumps were being the retailers didn't have to pay for, but at some point here, they'll also be responsible for buying those, and it's an extra cost they see there too. And again, it doesn't help them as far as the sales in the store. Another group that's concerned, of course, is citizens against gambling expansion, and I'm sure you're all somewhat familiar with that. They just are nervous about the negative effects of gambling in society just generally. And, you know, as far as gambling goes in Minnesota, of course we've got it, but they really have taken a stand now. They're against the expansion of gambling and see this as an expansion to gambling. And then also another group that's opposed is the Joint Religious Legislative Coalition, and they're also worried about the negative effects that gambling can have on society.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple questions here. I'll be honest, I'm not real familiar with the online or the play at the pump or the ATMs. My first question to the testifier is, how do people pay for the lottery tickets? Can they use a credit card, or do they have to use debit card or cash?
At the pumps and the ATMs, it's a debit card. Under Minnesota law, lottery tickets cannot be sold on credit, so it has to be a debit card. And obviously at the retailer, it's a cash transaction. The obvious misconception and misinformation available that keeps coming up is the statement that the electronic instant tickets are somehow available on the pumps and the ATMs, which they are not. It's Powerball and Mega Millions only, and those are quick pick tickets. A person does not have the capability of even picking their own numbers. It's a random number generator that generates those tickets. We have talked to the retailers that have this functionality at their pumps, and without reservation, they testify that it increases store traffic because of the brand awareness issue at the pump, that it asks that on the screen, it says, do you want to buy lottery? The same as you get prompted to buy a car wash, and you push yes or no. And a lot of people just see that and say to themselves, I need to buy my lottery ticket. And they go in the store to do that, and they spend additional money. At the other hearings, we had a gentleman named Roger Green from Kaposia down in Dakota County, I believe, and he testified that his month-to-month lottery sales went up almost 30% from November and December from a year ago. And he attributes that to the fact that he got play at the pump at the end of October. He loves the system. In fact, he said that was one of his impetuses to put in the new chip reader cards that are necessary to have this technology available. NACS, the National Association of Convenience Stores, this technology is one way to drive them into the store, to get them in there, and hopefully to buy something besides a lottery ticket. We want our retailers to be very successful, and we're working with them. Our research, there's research available worldwide with regard to the internet capacities. My guess is there's probably close to 100 lotteries worldwide that have internet sales of lottery tickets. Every one of them has shown an increase in brick-and-mortar retail sales after introduction of internet sales. We have a $50 per week cap on internet sales. No player can spend more than $50 in a week. Less than one-half of 1% of our players reach that threshold. They don't spend that much. And the average player is 45 years of age. So the arguments just don't make sense.
Mr. Chair, just to follow up on that, to the testifier, just to be clear, you mentioned that only Powerball and Mega Millions are available. And I think Senator Coonan mentioned some of these electronic scratch-offs. Is there any desire or plans to expand that to the electronic scratch-offs, or is the plan from the Minnesota Lottery just to keep it with the Powerball and the Mega Millions and those types of tickets?
Mr. Chair, Senator, with regard to play at the pump and ATM sales, there is not even a thought about putting electronic instant tickets at those venues. The capacity is available to add additional draw games perhaps at some point, but we have no plans for that at this time. I know California and Missouri, they both are launching this technology now, and they have added their in-state, well, it'd be similar to Gopher 5 for their states, so they have three games available. North Carolina and Georgia are adding it, both of them also. They haven't launched yet. They are about to, and they have added an additional game. So that capacity is there. But the electronic instant tickets, there is no way to add that technology to play at the pump or ATM. Okay. But it is available on the Internet.
Okay, thank you. Just one more follow-up. And, again, I'm not real familiar with this. This isn't an issue that I hear a lot about. I'm wondering, is there a list available that possibly members of the committee could get where these ATMs and play at the pump are located so we can check with retailers in the districts that we represent to see what their thoughts are on this?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, absolutely. We could provide that to you. That is also available on our website.
Okay, wonderful.
However, I see Chris is taking notes. We would be glad to provide that to your office.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have some questions about the contract issue. I've seen here that you're saying that to cancel these contracts would cost $7 million annually, but a little while ago you stated that you are still searching for some vendors, and I know that my phone is ringing, but sorry about that. And then, but that contracts are supposed to only last 2 years and then be renewed in Minnesota. So I don't understand how you can say that it would be $7 million per year for these. Plus, usually in contracts we have to have that state has a unilateral right to break a contract based on the inability to continue or whatever. So where do you get that $7 million per year for breaking a contract from?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I believe what I said was that the vendor has approximately $7 million invested in this project, and that would be the potential damages involved in this if there is deemed to be a breach of a contract. That is one vendor. Both vendors involved in these projects, Scientific Games and Link 3, have millions of dollars invested. Now, that being said, they have made small amounts back from the sales that we have generated, but emphasis on small, because we're just getting started. But those are the potential damages. I think the bigger issue is whether legislation of this type would violate the contract clause of the Constitution as impairing a valid operating contract. Clearly, the lottery has the authority to do what we are doing. I don't think anybody can argue. In fact, if we don't have the authority to do what we're doing, we should be having this discussion in a courtroom, not in a legislative hearing. And we would be prohibited from doing it. The contracts we have entered into are lawful. We are not limited by the two-year limitation at the lottery. According to my general counsel, ma'am, I don't know Minnesota law quite that well, but I think it would be a violation of the contract. Our vendors are entitled to negotiating a fair settlement for their investment, and I can't tell you exactly what the damages would be at this time, but I do know what their investments are, and that's where the $7 million figure came from.
Well, Mr. Chair, to continue that line of questioning, I'm wondering, you said that this would probably be better settled in a court. However, the legislature has the right to set parameters around these sorts of things, and I don't remember, can you tell me where in the Constitution it says that you can go ahead and perform this any way you want to without regard for any legislation that might put some parameters on it?
Mr. Chairman and Senator, absolutely. The legislature has the authority to dictate how agencies operate. I'm saying that at this time and in the years past, I mean, going forward, this program has been in the works since 2009. The lottery has been selling on the Internet since 2010, and I have never heard I haven't heard really a legal argument saying we do not have the authority to go forward. Obviously, if the legislature wants to mandate how we operate in the future, you absolutely have that authority. I'm just saying that if, in fact, it is believed that we don't have the authority to do what we're doing now, this argument should be being made in a courtroom, not in a legislative hearing. If this committee and this legislature wants to say you can't do this in the future, absolutely, that is your authority to do that. I have the utmost respect for this legislative body. I'm just saying that right now the lottery is acting within its lawful authority.
my last statement.
Second.
Thank you, Senator Cohen. I didn't know about this, that this was happening until last year or the year before, so it may have gone on since 2010, but I think a lot of us weren't aware that it was going on. I am, quite frankly, not against gambling, but I am concerned about the expansion and where's it going to go from here? If parameters aren't put on the lottery, where can you go from here? There is no other form of gambling that you can do at the pump or do at the ATM machine. Why should the state be doing it that way? I think is shocking, quite frankly. So, and I don't believe there was, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe there was ever an effort by the lottery to come forth and talk to the legislature about this before they went ahead and instituted it. I think it was just instituted on your own without legislative approval. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, no, that is not correct. In fact, Senator Lowry, I believe, was one of the legislators that received correspondence dated April 17th, I believe, in 2010, or April 27th, to notify the legislature and also the then-Governor Pawlenty about the launch schedule of the games and as far as sale on the Internet. And then in November of 2010 is when the actual sales began on the Internet. And they've been ongoing since that time.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. And then, Senator Goodman, I'm forced, if you don't mind, to just a parenthetical comment. I appreciate your apology about your cell phone, but I was kind of thinking, looking around the table, that now Senator Pappas has walked in, and maybe Senator Fischbach. But for those of you who might remember my predecessor a couple times removed, Senator Miriam, if that phone had gone off when he was chairman of this committee, you'd be lucky to still be a member of the committee. And the folks who are here, Mr. Straczynski, Mr. Rice, people, Senator Pappas, maybe Senator Fischbach, who were around for Senator Miriam, I don't know what he would do in the era of iPhones and all the rest of it. So.
Well, you're much nicer than Senator Miriam.
And I was going to say that. So I appreciate that because I have not tried to kick anybody off the committee. Speaking of people who might have remembered Senator Miriam, Senator Fischbach.
Senator Cohen, thank you. We were just trying to determine if I was actually here, and yes, I was, but I didn't sit on his committee. We overlapped one session.
Yeah, because you came in the special election, yeah. But... But
the legend is larger than the man, I think.
True.
But, Mr. Chair, and maybe Senator Coonan can answer this. My understanding of the, and I'm following up with kind of some things that Senator Miller asked, Senator Westrom, and Senator Goodwin. So not all my, they're not a nice, neat order of questions. But on the actual legislation, the first section that says that that's going to just suspend Powerball and, like, the Mega Millions at the pump. And then the second section just does scratch-offs online. So Powerball and Mega Millions will remain online? Is that how I understand that?
What was the last part of your statement again,
that
Mr. Chairman?
Under the second – I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, Senator. Under the second section, then, it'll remove the scratch-offs online and Powerball – Mega Millions and those kinds of the drawing games, I guess, will remain online. And I'm seeing someone nod in the back. So okay,
yes.
So I understand that. And then the other question I had, Mr. Chair, and I don't know who can answer this, is do the retailers right now, there was a mention of the cost of the putting in the pumps, and do the retailers have the option right now to sell at the pump, or are they being required to do that somehow? Because I understand that would be very expensive. To whoever, Mr. Chair, that's, yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Is it Van
Mr.
Patten?
Chair, Van Patten.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman and Senator, no. It is somewhat confusing the way that has developed. In the fall of 2012, a company called Verifone wanted to test its new chip reader software at limited locations in the state of Minnesota. It the company Verifone chose 9 locations within the metro area to install that software, and to get their retailers to move forward, they offered that software to their retailers free of charge to try it, to be part of the pilot program. This is a Verifone pilot program. The company Link 3 that developed the software for these sales was aware of this pilot and had been talking with Verifone. Excuse me. Verifone allowed them to kind of piggyback onto this pilot, and they did that for a number of months. The Verifone software was defective. It had serious problems with it. There was no issue whatsoever with the lottery. However, Link 3, because of its relationship with retailers, did step up and actually reimbursed some retailers for gas pump drive-offs, people driving off mistakenly because of transactional issues with that software. That has since been corrected, and there's no problems with it. However, due to their software issues, Verifone hasn't moved forward with their pilot program. So right now we have 8 Verifone retailers. One of them withdrew from the program because of all the problems with the software. In the fall of 2013, Link 3 began a program with a company called Gilbarco Veeder-Root, and that was in October of 2013. There has been absolutely not one issue with that system, and Gilbarco Veeder-Root has never given the software to their retailers. They have made it available as an upgrade, and the retailers, in order to do this upgrade, have to pay for that software. Now, that being said, federal law requires the chip reader technology and credit card transactions effective this coming fall. However, there is a delay for the gas pump technology to the fall of 2017. So by that time, all gas retailers that sell at the pump or have the card reader technology at the pump will have to upgrade to this new chip technology or assume the responsibility for any type of fraud committed at that pump with stolen or duplicated credit cards. So we believe that the vast majority of retailers will upgrade to that technology, and that this sales software, will reach that 73% of people that never go in the store, and even better yet, remind people that they didn't buy their lottery ticket yet and they need to go in the store and do that, and while they're in there, buy a bottle of pop and a candy bar or a bag of chips. That's our belief, and that's our hope.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Mr. Van Patten, I guess, and I appreciate the information on that. I'm wondering what the cost would be to the retailers for this, I guess, the technology. There's a software program that they have to have in addition to this technology that the federal government's requiring. But and are they required to do that? If they're going to be a lottery retailer, are they required to sell at the pump if they have the technology? I mean, we can't, I guess, I hope we're not requiring them to upgrade pumps, things like that. But what would the cost be, and are we requiring that, or is the lottery requiring that, I guess?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, absolutely not. We do not require that. Link 3, the company Link 3 is the retailer for those transactions. They contract with the retail location to place that software. The lottery's not directly involved in the transaction other than our relationship with Link 3. The cost of upgrading to this technology, to the chip reader technology, I'm pretty ignorant about that. However, Mr. Green, who testified, I believe, last week in the Senate hearing, said that the total cost of upgrading his pumps was about $200,000, and he paid for that, a lot of that, with a grant he received by upgrading to sell the E85 and the other green technologies. So I cannot tell you, but the lottery is not directly involved in that transaction. We make no requirements. In fact, my analogy is it's just like a car, you know, having a car wash. Not every gas station can have a car wash. Not everybody has the space. Not everybody has the ability to do it. But the ones that want to do it and feel that it benefits their business should have the capacity to do that.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, one more question. Mr. Chair, and possibly Mr. Naumann could answer this. There's a fiscal note here, and I'm wondering if the fiscal note reflects, and maybe you can just go through it and give us some idea of what's here, and if it reflects the loss of the contracts or if it reflects those issues that may be that may cost money or...
Mr. Chair and Senator Fischbach, the fiscal note in front of you with the title revised on Senate File 188-1A does not include, neither of the fiscal notes in front of you today include the contract costs. Those are considered secondary effects, and there's language in the fiscal note describes that and stating that it could be as much as $12 million based on the testimony here. I think those issues have been explored. The fiscal note primarily deals with the primary effects as if it deals entirely with the primary effects, the lost revenue to the general fund of $402,016, a few distributional effects on some of the other funds for a total of $708,016, a total biennial effect of 1.8. The 16 effects based on the effective date are considered to be 75% of the total. So that's why they're lower in 16 as opposed to fiscal 17.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Engelbertson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the heartfelt way of scolding your members. I really appreciate that earlier. I also, too, am not a gambler. I buy probably one or two tickets every 3-4 years at the very most. In fact, I've got a WIST tournament bill floating around here someplace, and our young staff are asking me what in the world is WIST, so I guess I'm dating myself when it comes to any kind of gambling here. But my question would be, and maybe some comments with regards to Mr. Van Petten, your function, it seems to me, is charge is to find ways to make money for the existing areas that we fund and try and fund, has been going on for some time, game and fish environment, state parks, metro parks and trails, zoos and lottery in lieu of. So this function of buying tickets at the pump or electronically is an area that you've moved into, your department has moved into, and you're saying is really just starting to play itself out. I'm wondering, why we as a group didn't deal with this a couple of years ago if it was such a bad plan. And my other question would be is, are the retailers going against this? Are the retailers wanting this out? I mean, obviously they have the opportunity to participate in this so they could get out at any given time. Is that true? And are there anybody here from the gas station realtors that would be against the senator's bill?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, there was a number of questions in there. Most important question is, what do the retailers think? As I said, we had one retailer withdraw from the program. Every other retailer I've talked to that has this system loves it and says it does increase foot traffic in their stores. They tell us that, and Mr. Green was here last week, and I'm sure you could pull his testimony if you, don't want to listen to me. But the Petroleum Marketers, or Minnesota Petroleum Marketers Association, opposes this, our measure, and supports this legislation. The Minnesota Service Station Association strongly supports this legislation, or supports our program and opposes the legislation. And as I understand it, the MSSA is kind of the grassroots mom-and-pop stores that see the benefit of increased traffic into their stores. You have to ask Mr. Straczynski about the Minnesota Petroleum Marketers. We've had numerous talks. We've agreed to disagree. And I do not understand their objections. So maybe he can explain it to you.
Just real quick follow-up, Mr. Chair, if I could. So, Senator, your comments about, I guess, gambling addiction. You made some comments about gambling addiction. And that has been thrown around and bantered, I think, during the Viking Stadium funding source, and I don't want to bring that up today. I did, I guess. But nevertheless, we talked a lot about that, at least in my tenure here, and the concerns about that, and those are, I think, well thought out. However, I still see, I still see a bus driving around town going to Mystic Lake, and it says free rides. So I'm not so sure that we're very concerned about, addictive gambling when we have a service like that happening throughout the metro area, going right to Mystic Lake for those people who probably can't afford a car and not going to be able to go out and gamble. So, you know, it's kind of a—I don't know what you would call it—but if you're going to allow gambling in the state of Minnesota, then I guess everybody should be able to play. And I'm fearing here that we're getting some undue pressure from somebody and from the Indian gaming community. And that's not being brought up here, but I'm going to bring it up. I mean, is there some pressure there? Are they seeing that they're losing some business, or if they are? Then I think we need to know that, but this seems to be something that we should be going forward with in a pilot program and giving it some time. It appears, but we're just going to all of a sudden shut it down, and I'm very concerned about that. Maybe those are more comments than any kind of questions. What do you think about that? I guess,
Mr. Chairman, Senator Engelbretson, there is a fair amount of gambling already taking place in the state that has been for quite some time. And I think what the issue is with this is that this is seen as an expansion that the state is involved in. But important in this whole discussion is that, like, for example, when we were talking about the stadium and, what should be allowed then, the committees here all had that discussion, and the legislature as a whole had that discussion. When it comes to this proposal, that discussion didn't happen until now. Well, in fact, it started a little bit last year at the end of the session, but until now, this is really when that discussion's happened within the legislature. The Constitution established the state lottery, but the legislature set up the perimeter in which it would work and how it would work. And so the way I see it, this is what we should be doing as a legislature, is having this discussion now.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Van Petten, I'd like to follow up on some comments that Senator Goodwin alluded to. And that is essentially the authority, the legal authority, to have put these two programs in place. And when I look at the handout that was in our files, it looks like these are pilot programs that began in October of 2012. And during your testimony, you've indicated a concern that there are some constitutional issues that would be of concern to you. You are concerned about litigation. You're concerned about millions of dollars in damages. And you also mentioned at one point during your presentation that you had your general counsel look at this. And so my question is, to you is, do you have a written legal opinion that you would be willing to share with us that indicates that the lottery had the authority to do what it did in implementing these two pilot programs without legislative approval?
Mr. Chairman, Senator By two pilot programs, what are you referring to?
Pay at the pump, Mr. Chairman, pay at the pump and ATM.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, in 2011, before I was in this position, general counsel at the lottery, a gentleman by the name of Dale McDonald, wrote an opinion to that effect with regard to internet gaming, or sale of lottery tickets over the internet. The issue of the play at the pump and the ATM has not, to my knowledge, been reduced to writing. I know the company Link 3, the vendor, before they wanted, obviously, to invest millions of dollars, did vast amounts of research and determined that it was legal. And the simple explanation with regard to play at the pump and play at the ATM is that those systems are nothing more than a vending machine. And the Minnesota Lottery has had vending machines. I think we have 19 at the airport alone, and we have over 400 vending machines statewide and have had for in excess of 10 years. And that has never been an issue that I'm aware of ever. Certainly that has not been an issue since I have been here. And I began this position March 1 of 2012.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Van Patten, gambling in the state of Minnesota has been a controversial issue for a very long time. And there are people all over the board, some support, some oppose, and everybody in between. And I do not claim to have any degree of expertise in gambling law. And so if I understood your lengthy answer to my really quite short question, you or the lottery does not have a written legal opinion that indicated to you that these two pilot programs, that the lottery had the legal authority to implement them in 2012. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, that is what I said. Yes, sir.
And, Mr. Chairman, one final question. Mr. Van Patten, the legal opinion from Mr. McDonald that indicated the lottery did have the authority to implement a program, what program was that again?
That was Mr. Chairman, Senator, that pertains to sale of lottery tickets via the Internet.
And is that a legal opinion that you would be willing to share with us?
We have, Mr. Chairman, excuse me, we've shared it countless times with committees, and I'd be more than happy to provide you with a copy.
Thank Senator. You. I'd appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm curious about the legal authorities, but part of my question is where is it prohibited? I mean, I haven't heard anyone say that there's a statute specifically says it cannot be done. I'd be curious to see what the legal authority is that says they can't do it. I did have a question maybe Senate counsel can help us with regard to the legal issues surrounding the contracts clause that has been raised here, if there's any guidance for us. I know this isn't specifically a Finance Committee question, but the issue's been raised. And then I had a follow-up question also regarding the finance aspect of it. The contract costs, up to $12 million or so, that was described as secondary costs. I assume that means it would not have a direct impact on the state budget itself, but it would be costs borne by the lottery should they end up having to pay because of cancellation of contracts. Maybe that can be confirmed if that would be helpful also.
So, Sir Lance, is that a question either of Mr. Bodner or Mr. Nauman?
Whoever has the capacity to answer, either one of them. I assume the contracts clause question would go to Mr. Bodner.
Sure. Mr. Chairman and Senator Latz,
I have been reviewing the statutes, looking for a statute I can remember that provides general authority or a requirement, rather, for all state contracts to contain a clause that allows the state to basically rescind at any time the state chooses to do that. I know it's a requirement. I don't have the particular contracts in hand. It may be something that I think the Attorney General or Department of Administration insist on including in contracts, state contracts, as a matter of course, with any third-party vendors.
Okay. So if I may, then we may have the authority to cancel the contract, but does that mean without paying any damages or any sunk costs that were invested in reliance on the contract?
Chairman and Senator Latson, and others may wish to comment as well. I think the understanding would be that, yeah, if the vendor has incurred, this would not be free of any cost whatsoever. It's simply reserving the right to discontinue any further performance under the contract, but possibly, you know, or rather, I would say very certainly would include the opportunity for the vendor to offset costs incurred to that point.
Mr. Chairman, because ordinarily I think if you cancel a contract or one party chooses to not perform a contract, you could sue and ask a court to order specific performance, in other words, the continuation of the terms of the contract. And so, Mr. Bowden, you're saying they could cancel the contract as of today, but that doesn't say any damages that were incurred up to the date of the cancellation would not be payable. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Latz, I agree with that without having looked at the specific contract in question here.
Okay. How about the $12 million?
So, Mr. Chairman,
up to $12 million in damages.
So, Mr. Chairman, Senator Latz, if the costs were incurred, and the fiscal note does speak to this, but it's buried in the footnote underneath the table, that would affect the net proceeds of the lottery, which is distributed 60% to the general fund and 40% to the Environment and Natural Resources Fund. So presumably that would be a loss to those funds, but because it's secondary and we don't know whether or not this truly would occur, it's been scored as – it's not been scored in the fiscal note at this point. But that doesn't mean there wouldn't be an effect to those funds at a future point.
Okay. So according to the fiscal note, we're looking at least about $2 million worth of costs and probably in the range of $10, $12, $14 million if this bill were to become law.
Mr. Chair and Senator Latz, I mean, I think we're pretty clear. We have a long history in scoring fiscal notes of not measuring secondary effects, and this one has been classified as a secondary effect, and I would agree with that interpretation. That doesn't mean that there wouldn't be a fiscal effect.
All right. Thank you.
Senator Babbitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I apologize. I was late this morning, so I don't know if this question was asked or not, but I'm really concerned about the financial implications of passing this bill. So we've talked about the two biennial costs of almost $4 million, looks like, and then we've talked about the secondary legal costs, but I'm also concerned about the long-term impacts on the general fund, the game and fish fund, the environmental trust fund, state parks, metro parks, local trails, zoos, et cetera, and what this is going to mean down the road. If the revenues continue to decline from the purchase of lottery tickets currently, and Mr. Van Petten has come up with a new business model that is supposed to reverse that, what are going to be the long-term impacts? So I'm wondering if Mr. Van Petten would just comment on your prediction long-term is going to happen if you are required to shut down the Internet sales.
Mr. Van Petten. Mr. Chairman, Senator Pavis. It's somewhat like looking into a crystal ball, I have to admit. However, as I stated earlier, we have done very extensive research on this subject, and as I also stated, we have found close to 100 jurisdictions worldwide that sell lottery tickets on the Internet, and those jurisdictions without fail have shown an increase in brick-and-mortar sales, inside store sales, after launching these programs. Instant tickets are the one market that a lottery can control somewhat by advertising, because the draw games are so jackpot-driven. Our instant ticket sales had been stagnant or slightly decreasing for the last 3 years. And in the last year since we have launched the electronic instant tickets and our instant sales in the brick-and-mortar stores are up over 16% just this fiscal year since July 1. This program, the electronic instant tickets, were initiated February 6th of last year. So they're approximately a little over a year old. But this is the most dramatic increase we have seen in in-store sales in years. And we believe that, you know, as I've tried to explain to other committees, I haven't mentioned it today, but this is more of a marketing tool and a brand awareness tool than it is a sales tool. Mm-hmm. As I said, we have a $50 cap per week. Less than 0.5% of our players reach that cap. So obviously this is not designed for great sales over the Internet. However, we want to bring our players into the stores, into our retail partners, where they can generate profits for those partners and additional sales. The business plan itself, I can't take full credit for. As I said, it started in the planning started in 2009, has been ongoing since that time. We have, of course, modified it and have proceeded with it in this fashion, with our primary goal benefiting our retail partners.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think then that we should be commending Mr. Van Petten for doing an outstanding job in increasing the sales rather than having a proposal that would literally hog-tie him.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The legislature always makes decisions about if revenue is appropriate or not, if it's the kind of revenue we want to work with. And so that is something that we do here in the legislature all the time. But, Mr. Chairman, there are a couple people here who represent organizations that are interested in this subject that would like to comment when you see fit.
And I was going to ask that, Senator Cunningham, but we still have a couple of our members who have questions. Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It just seems to me that this has been going on since 2010, and I haven't heard any hysteria about it or heard any major problems with it. And I also believe that adults are smart enough to make their own decisions on whether or not they want to bet on games of chance, and that us regulating this and not and telling them that they can't do it is completely wrong. And finally, retailers should have the ability to install something if they want to, and I don't think this is widely dispersed around the state. I know I've never seen them up in my area. I've seen the pump say, do you want a car wash? I haven't seen it say, do you want to buy a lottery ticket? And so I think what this is all about individual people's rights to do what they want, and I just think we should let the lottery go ahead with it and not pass these bills.
Senator Miller, I guess.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to ask. I'd be curious to hear the proponents of the bill whenever we see that fit.
Yeah,
our committee time's getting short here, so I'd like to hear from those folks that are supportive of the bill.
Yeah, Senator Miller, that's a very good point about committee time, and at some point during the course of the session, my usual very, you know, easy come, easy go attitude will change to be a really pretty tough taskmaster. But we actually do have some time with this morning's committee. So, Senator Limmer.
Based on that admonition, Mr. Chair.
Senator Limmer, I'm sorry. Then, Senator Miller, we'll get back to your comment about your request of other folks testify. But let's have Senator Limmer, who's been waiting.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I kind of remember when we first started the gambling or the lottery, and perhaps council can help my memory. Wasn't that as a result of a referendum question to the public to allow a lottery to begin? Is that true or not?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, that is correct. It's a constitutionally authorized lottery.
And do you remember the question that was asked of the public at that time?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, I can find it for you quickly, but I don't remember it off the top of my head.
All right. Well, Mr. Chair, I don't recall it either, but I don't think there was any mention of there was a mention certainly of a lottery, and at that moment in time, the only lottery that we knew of was what other states were conducting, and it was you buy a ticket and you hope your number was picked. I don't think there was a Powerball at that time. There certainly was not the advent of ATMs or internet. I think it was back in either 88 or 90. I remember voting on it as a result of the referendum. We put it into play as a result of the public telling us what they wanted. But what the lottery board has created is they've recognized a new technology that was not there back at that time. I think the question is that the intent of the public or is it not? And should we recognize the new technology or should we recognize what the public voted on at the time of the science that was available mm-hmm. at that time? I think that at least I would have wanted to have had a little bit more hand in fashioning an expansion of a lottery rather than let the Minnesota Lottery go ahead and do it. The question of legality is for a courtroom probably to decide, but we have an opportunity to make a decision right now. We have a decision to advance the intent of the Minnesota Lottery or not. I tend to think that we should go a little slower. I think that we should participate in that decision. I am concerned that young people might be able, through an internet, be able to gamble without any verification. It says there's verification, but I know my own kids, and they're very very skilled at using computer and high tech. That my two boys work at Best Buy, and they know more things about computer things and doodads and things that go into computers and apps and everything else that they can do just about anything that perhaps even adults should not get into, but they could. And so any enterprising young person could get involved in this type of activity, and I think it creates a very serious pattern of behavior that could be detrimental to them in the future. Senator Tomasoni talks about having adult people make decisions on their own. I agree with that. But I also agree that if there's dangers involved, we should caution the public before they get active in things and not necessarily make it as easy as an internet play or an ATM, a couple buttons on an ATM panel. So I honestly believe that Senator Conan is doing the right thing by bringing these bills before us and giving us an opportunity to revisit the issue, revisit the policies, and then determine how we fine-tune a lottery to the most people, but at the same time being cautious on our public's behalf so that they don't run off and just use a credit card and dump an entire credit card balance into an ATM machine. And I've seen it in South Dakota. I hunt in South Dakota often. They have it a little different. They have their machines in bars and restaurants. But I see people sitting there for 3 hours catatonically staring into a screen, their cigarette ash 3 inches long, not being disturbed as they play the machine and dump their savings into a machine, and they never get it back. And I hope we don't have that experience on an ATM anywhere, or for that matter, an internet screen anywhere in our state. It's just not healthy.
And Senator Limmer, I appreciate your comment, and but I'm taking that just to kind of make the point, the word doodad would not be the contemporary term of art.
What is, Mr. Chair?
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just this past weekend happened to be talking to a gentleman at our church who said, I asked him how things were going. He said, well, I've been struggling with my son, who's 28 years old. He's got a gambling problem. He started when he was 18, when he was dared by his friends in college to go to a gambling casino. And he's been 3 times now into Gamblers Anonymous to try and get past this situation where he's lost his savings and he's lost his income on a weekly basis, and mom and dad are having to step up and help him to get through. And I'm just wondering if Mr. Senator Coonan or someone to testify what Gamblers Anonymous has seen as far as people with addictions, or we're talking about expanding a gambling situation. I know it's a pilot program, as was mentioned, but I'm just wondering if there's any other statistics or information that could add to how this might, as Senator Limmer and others have mentioned, that going online, sitting in your home, and not having to go out, just sit on the computer and gamble, how this may have impacted society and our young people coming up.
Okay, well, I know Senator Miller had asked if there are other folks who wish to testify, but relative to Senator Anderson's question, I don't know if there's anybody here involved with some of the gambling programs.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Van Patten.
If I may, the lottery is probably, well, I believe is the only financial supporter for the problem gambling in the state. Mm-hmm. We hold the monthly board meetings for the North Star Gambling Alliance are held in our offices. We host them. And I have repeatedly asked if they have had any calls whatsoever about our internet initiatives and have been told no. They have not received any. So in that regard, we are keeping a close guard on that and what our effect is. In 2012, a research study was done with just in the state of Minnesota by a national company, Innovation Group, it's called. And in that study, 37% of people surveyed said they had gambled on the internet within the last year. None of them involved with lottery. And of that 37%, 55% of those people were in the age group of 18 to 35. So gambling does occur on the internet. This bill will do absolutely nothing to curb any of that behavior. All it will do is potentially threaten the money that goes to problem gambling from the lottery.
So, Mr. Miller, you had asked, or Senator Miller, you had asked if there's anyone else who wished to testify. Were there others who wished to testify relative to the legislation? I don't think we had, I'm not sure if it was on this bill or the next bill, we had Mr. Rice and Mr. Straczynski, but.
Mr. Chair, one final question that real
yeah,
short.
Sir,
what?
Sir,
thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Van Patten, what would prevent a 15-year-old from taking their parents' license and going on the internet and putting that in for a subscription to buy lottery tickets? How do you verify that this is a legitimate, age-appropriate person that's on there?
With regard to lottery sales, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, Senator, with regard to lottery sales, there would be no impetus to do that because the transaction would be either through an ACH transfer that would have to come out of the parent's bank account and also back to that bank account, or through a debit card that is tied to the parent's bank account. And therefore, if there were any winnings, it would go back into that bank account. The young person would have no access to those winnings. That being said, there are other security guidelines built into the system with regard to tying information to the bank account that identifies that person as the account holder. And I'm afraid I'm not smart enough to describe the IT aspects of that. However, the system was audited by a national security firm out of Atlanta and was found to be totally effective with regard to those safeguards.
Just a quick follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Senator Goodman.
Mr. Van Patten, there was a 15-year-old that of a carpenter that we hired, and he took my check and went online and bought pornography. And he took my numbers off my check. They got into my bank account, and they subtracted $39 a month for a year and a half before I noticed that it was gone. So So he got a year and a half's worth of pornography at 15. But at any rate, if somebody did have, if a child or an adolescent did have access to a driver's license and they had access to the parents' bank account, they would have to have both, you're saying, in order to be able to collect any winnings they might get, because you automatically put the winnings, if there are any, in their bank account, in the same bank account that they're withdrawing money from to play the lottery?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Van Pen.
I don't want to be confusing here. With regard to the Internet transactions, that is an electronic wallet set up through the player's bank account. So any winnings there go back into that electronic wallet, and they're tied back to the bank account, or either a claim form must be filed with us to get that money back at that point. With regard to debit card transactions at Play at the Pump and the ATM, what you said is exactly correct. Any winnings under $600 go directly back into that bank account. $600 and over have to be claimed at a lottery office because of the tax implications.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Brian Rice. I'm a lawyer practicing in Minneapolis, and I'm here today representing Link 3. And if your committee assistant could come, this is the information Senator Miller requested about current locations. Put that here. Link 3 is a software development startup firm that developed Play Up the Pump technology. In 2010, Link 3 entered an agreement with the Minnesota State Lottery to develop a product to modernize the lottery and make it more convenient to a wider group of people to potentially play lottery at gas station pumps and ATM machines. The idea was to bring the product to where people are. An article in the National Convenience Store Association magazine in November 2012 stated 3 out of 4 people who go to a convenience store to get gas do not go into the store. As Mr. Van Patten had said, lotteries have seen a dramatic drop in play, and the key demographic group is this age 25 to 40. And what they found is with this technology, it's reaching a group of people that the lottery traditionally doesn't. You have to, since it's most of this work is that Play at the Pump, which means you own a car, drive a car, and you have a debit card. And that demographic group of people tends to be higher income than some of the other profiles that lottery has dealt with. If I can just summarize the testimony on the need for this bill, the proponents of it are, first, they say there's problems with the technology. Secondly, they've argued that this Play at the Pump has only been offered to certain retailers. Third, they say the argument against this bill is that gambling is addictive and it leads to other pernicious effects, compulsive gambling, et cetera. And fourth is that there's no legal authority. I would submit to the committee that, first, there are no problems with this technology. There was, in 2012, an initial rollout, experienced some glitches, but those were addressed, remediated, and since 2013, the Play at the Pump technology has been very effective. In fact, last year it won a National Retailers Award as the best new product of the year. This product was developed in Minnesota by Link 3 at a cost of about $8 million to perfect the system. It's now up in operation in Missouri, the state of California, and North Carolina. And it's got several other states that are extremely interested in the prospects of this technology. Initially, the product to get it launched by Verifone, who is not involved with many of these current rollouts, did offer some incentive. That's not happening anymore. As Mr. The product is available to any retailer that has the technology at the pump, and as that sheet is circulating, you'll see that these are not the big, these are the ma and pa operations. Mr. Green testified as the sole proprietor in South St. Paul, Kapoja. There's a story about a Madison Lake family that's owned a convenience store for 30 years, and as that list you'll see circulating, these are small businesses. This is not, at this point, Holiday or Super America or major chains. I think the single largest group is a JM Shops out of the St. Cloud, Stearns County area, where they have 6 locations. But it is I guess all I could really say on that point is that it's working, it's available to those people who need it, and as Mr. Van Patten said, because of all the credit card fraud we're seeing, and particularly it happens at gas stations with this chip implanted in credit cards, fraud protection, all retailers are basically going to have to upgrade their pumps within a matter of 2 years so that they're secure and that they're not exposed for it. And so the technology needing a proof of ID of a driver's license and with a debit card really enhances the security on this. And the proponents of this bill said it's an expansion of gambling and that it will lead to compulsive gambling. I'd really ask the committee members to think for a second. To say that somebody is going to be compulsively addicted to gambling, where you have to go and buy the gas and pay for the gas at the pump and buy your lottery ticket, is a little bit of a stretch, quite honestly, that people like that are going to, and particularly Senator Cohen noticed that lottery is probably the least addictive form of gambling. There's two times a week when you can win. It's a preset date. It's not the compulsive feedback that you, Senator Limmer, mentioned, where you're sitting at a machine and you're pushing the button and hoping the next one's going to be the jackpot. I mean, you've got to say, okay, they're going to pick the prize Wednesday night and Saturday night. I've heard about the prize. I want to buy it before those evenings. And the lottery has put in place a $50 a week play limit. Mr. Van Patten testified that less than 1% of the 32-some thousand users that they've had ever hit that limit. We've heard charitable gaming groups come forward and some of the other gaming interests. There's no bill here to say that we'll limit gambling at a casino to $50 a week or at poll tabs $50 a week. If the legislation was truly concerned with about addiction to gaming, got to add a provision to that so nobody can spend more than even $50 a day at some other gaming venues. That would probably cut off a lot of compulsive gaming if that's really the purpose of this legislation. And really, to get to the legal authority, I understand that many legislators have great misgivings about gambling. But the fact is, the matter was submitted to the voters in 1988. It was approved by nearly a 60% margin, and it made an exception to an original prohibition in our state's constitution that lotteries were not permitted. That prohibition against lottery goes back to the beginning of statehood, and the voters authorized a state-sponsored lottery. It was the only second time in the history of the states that gaming was authorized. First in 82 was on-track pari-mutuel betting, and then in 88 with the state lottery. There is no constitutional authorization for charitable gaming. There is no constitutional direct authorization for tribal gaming. The two that are authorized by the Constitution are pari-mutuel on-track betting and the lottery. And this lottery amendment, I would submit, is special. It was either 2 or 4 years later. Senator Moe, I believe, carried the legislation to dedicate 40% of these revenues from lottery to the Environment Natural Trust Fund. That has been noted funds a number of projects in the environment, and the remaining 60% goes to the state's general fund. The lottery generated a little over $500 million in total ticket sales last year, and 25 cents on every dollar of those lottery tickets comes back to this finance committee for appropriations. $50 million into the committee that Senator Saxog and you, Senator Ingebretson, oversaw when you were the chair of that, and the balance to the general fund. Charitable gaming, on the other hand, 4 cents out of every there $1.2 billion comes back to the state's general fund. And I don't know the numbers on racehorse, on-track pari-mutuel betting, or tribal gaming. And what I'd really like to maybe focus the attention on, I think Senator Latz raised an excellent point. We said, is there authority, is there not authority? If you look at page 13 of the bill, right at the top, beginning at the bottom of line 12, these are the restrictions in 349A.
He's on the other.
When the lottery legislation was passed, certain restrictions were placed on the lottery.
Mr. Rice, excuse me, are you talking about the bill in front of us, 188 or 229?
229, excuse me.
So we're on 188.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, then 188, it would be the sections 25 and 26, Senator. In section 25, there were the lottery originally was prohibited from doing any sports books. That would be 13.2. They were prohibited from doing any slot machines, coin-operated machines. And third was poll tabs. Those are the restrictions, and they were placed on the lottery. No other restrictions of any sort. What the restriction that this bill would do significantly is to say that the lottery can't as offer the play on an electronic terminal or through a website any casino-style games. And that's a restriction that Mr. Van Patten has said in other committees he's perfectly fine with. The lottery's not planning on doing any casino games that might offer competition to Indian gaming or other forms of gaming. When it comes to this issue of play at the pump and internet matters, I'd really call the committee's attention to Section 26. This is will be an uncoded section of law. It won't be part of Chapter 349. And it's specifically aimed at one thing and one thing only, or rather I should say two. Paragraph A is specifically aimed at play at the pump. It's in there for no other reason, and it's in there basically to abrogate the contract that exists between play at the pump and the Minnesota State Lottery. And I would submit respectfully to the committee that that violates Article 1, Section 11 of the Minnesota Constitution, which prohibits the legislature from passing a bill of attainder or ex post facto law or law impairing the obligation of contract. And it's, as I would submit, as raw a provision as you'll see, and I see many senators who've sat around, been in this legislature a long time, and I'd really question, when have you seen a bill come before this body that specifically voids a contract? Could you do it going forward? Could you look at it? Yes. But this bill doesn't do it in the context of the lottery law, and it doesn't do it in the context of any other gaming law that the state has. So with that, I'd stand for questions, and thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Okay, thank you. Now, again, keeping in mind that we're still in the first bill, Senate File 188, there was a request from Mr. Straczynski to testify.
So, Mr. Chair, my comments are directed at both bills, and they're both related to
yes. I understand that. But I just want to make sure I remind folks. So, Mr. Straczynski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Bill Straczynski. And thank you for the opportunity. I do want to clarify the record on a number of points that were made this morning. I represent the Minnesota Petroleum Marketers Association. We have 800 retailers, and we certainly have over 2,000 convenience store operations in our association. Admittedly, there are some stations, certainly 54 of them, that have installed play at the pump. I have also talked, and it was pointed out this morning, that Verifone was the original pilot project of the first 9 stations. I've talked to the owner of one of the 9 stations who actually ordered the equipment removed from her location because there were so many technical problems with it that it cost her thousands of dollars. She's been reimbursed for some of the drive-offs, but certainly not reimbursed for all of it. But that's just symptomatic of some of the concerns we really have with this technology. First of all, the technology, the federal law is, they talked about chip and PIN systems in credit cards. It's more MasterCard Visa. Going forward, if you want to take MasterCard or Visa at a gasoline station, you either have to have the chip and PIN, or you're liable for the drive-off or misuse of that card if it's stolen or what have you. Frankly, in the Petroleum Marketers Association, the industry doesn't ever think that they'll be able to escape that liability regardless. But you should know that the chip and PIN system has been around for some time, and a lot of stations have already installed it, whether they're a mom-and-pop operation, small ones, which we represent, or it's whether it's the big chains, the Quick Trips and the Holidays and what have you. So that is really neither here nor there. They're not installing Play at the Pump because they have to go to chip and pin systems. There's a lot of chip and pin systems out there now that have not done Play at the Pump. Our concerns with this legislation have been around for some time. Senator Johnson had a bill 3 years ago on this. And these two provisions that you're dealing with in Senate File 188 are actually contained in a bill that was actually vetoed by the governor last year, which is Senate File 229, which we'll be dealing with. So it's been around for some time. We think signals should have been sent to the lottery and others about that. Our basic concern is that there's 2,700 gas stations in Minnesota. It was originally built as a pilot project in 2013. Has anybody seen a report? There's no report been presented as saying this is the impact of the sales, here's how much it costs, and what have you. We've seen nothing. You hear, including in the fiscal note that's before you today, you see comments about 3% sales increase in the gasoline station because of Play at the Pump. That's because Director Van Patten has said that. Has anybody seen any documentation that shows that, any kind of a study? If it's a pilot project, where's the results? It's been around for a long time, but the pilot project keeps getting bigger and bigger, and even this morning you were told it's still a pilot project. So we're concerned about that. Let me put it in perspective for you. I have here the report from the lottery, and I met with the lottery on December 19th, 2014. The report at that time, Play at the Pump, they had 52 active retailers, and 16 others were pending. For the fiscal year sales to date, it was $9,627 in 2014. And they claimed here that the in-store sales were up 4%. You have to understand, at the pump itself, it's a $10 minimum purchase. You have to buy them in strips of $10 all the way up to $50 because that's the self-imposed limit that the lottery has placed on it. So at best, there were 960 transactions. We don't think this is a deal breaker for the state's budget at all, or certainly the lottery's budget. $9,627 worth of revenue was generated through sale at the pump by their own report on December 19, 2014. They're speculating that inside stores sales increased dramatically. We clearly disagree with that. We think inside store sales, because I've talked to a number of other retailers whose inside store sales have gone up, they don't have Play at the Pump. And it's because of $400 million Powerballs, it's because better games by the lottery, and frankly, $2 gasoline, people have more discretionary income to spend. We question and we struggle with the original concept about the online gaming. We think we happen to be in the camp that believes the lottery does not have permission to do those things. All the other kinds of issues that come before this legislature dealing with gaming of any sort is already people have been asking for permission to do certain things, whether it's the Indian gaming, you see a lot of regulations on that, whether it's harness racing, you see some legislation on that of providing for internet gaming, certainly whether it's been my colleagues certain in charitable gamblings, everybody's come before the legislature. They have not come before you to ask for permission to do this. We think that was a mistake, and we're concerned about that. So we fundamentally disagree that they had the initial authority to do those kinds of things. And we've been opposing it for some time. I don't know here nor there with respect to potential damages about litigation. I've been a commissioner in state government and dealt with litigation a long time ago, and I know how that works in the court systems. That's speculative at best, and the development costs here now have been distributed through multiple states. So I think I'm not an attorney, and I don't want to go any further than that, but I think that's questionable. And I think it's important to also note that the National Service Station Association, which all convenience stores, I mean the National Convenience Store Association, is in support of this bill and opposed to Play at the Pump. They're very concerned about this happening. What we're concerned about is some stations initially got the system for free. That system costs nowadays $5,000 to $10,000. In fact, you had somebody testify last week who talked about he installed it. And he said $175,000, $200,000 is what he paid. He paid that to replace his pumps and to replace the tanks and the blender pumps in his station because he put in E15, and the current blender pumps don't work with E15. They're not UL approved. So he had to replace all of that in his station. That was his cost. Play at the Pump didn't cost him $175,000 or $200,000. So understand that. And finally, besides, we do represent big and we do represent small stations as well. We're all opposed to that in our organization, and I think that's important. Mr. Chairman, there's more things here. But again, we have we think it's okay to cut it off at this particular point in time. We'll not be doing any damage to the state. We have not seen any results of studies saying this is really a good idea. And, you know, I think it's true. We don't want people to do online gaming because that takes potentially sales away from us in the gas station. We want people to come inside of our stores, make no doubt about it. We want people to come inside of our stores. We don't want to buy in lottery tickets. It is a different vendor at the pump. It's not the owner of the station. It's a different vendor. It happens to be Link 3. That has led to some confusion when there's been problems with getting your tickets at the pump because it's the inside store owner. That's not his responsibility or her responsibility. It's the different vendor and it's confusion. And you should also know, finally, Mr. Chairman, that the Minnesota Grocers Association last year, who is the number one retailer of lottery tickets, we are number two largest retailer of lottery tickets. We're all opposed to lottery doing these things, play at the pump, and certainly online gaming, and we are strongly in support of Senator Coonan's bill. So I think I've tried to address most of the questions, and you've been very generous with your time with me this morning. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Sir, if you'd like to testify.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Alan Lund. I'm the Executive Director of Allied Charities of Minnesota. We represent the 1,150 charities that do charitable gambling in the communities across Minnesota. There are two issues at play here for us, and one is to address the competitive issue. There's four ways to legally gamble in Minnesota: the racetracks, the casinos, the charitable gambling sites, and the Minnesota Lottery. There is only so much dollars to go around for people to gamble, and you need to pick one of those. So to me, that's the very definition of competition. We are in competition with the Minnesota Lottery. The issue with is it legal or not for them to expand onto the Internet without your approval, federal law states that is expressly authorized by and placed in accordance with the laws of such state and the state law or regulations. I've read their statutes many times. I can't find the word Internet once. So we believe that has never been addressed by the legislature. The crux of their argument is that it doesn't say we can't, so we can. We come to you for everything that we would like to do in charitable gambling. And we believe that what they have done is expand without your authority. The issue with being both a vendor and a retailer, the director, if I heard him correctly today, said that that's not the Minnesota Lottery that operates the online, or the Internet for them. That's Scientific Games. We believe that in the Minnesota statute, it says you cannot be both a vendor and a retailer. We do believe that brick and mortar is how gambling should be conducted in Minnesota. We want you to come to one of our sites. Before they expanded, we had 3,000 lottery sites, 2,800 charitable gambling sites, 18 casinos, and 2 racetracks. When they expanded into the Internet, we now have millions of potential gambling sites. The compromise in 2010, when they came on with their draw games, last year the compromise that we reached in our bill that was in fact vetoed was that they would be allowed to keep those games, that was not something that we were looking to take away from them. But they would need to stop all the other activities. Access is a factor in addiction. So we now go from the 6,000 to several million ways to gamble. So basically what we're asking you is to, if you want to give them that authority, that is totally within your purview. We understand that. They could come with a bill tomorrow that says, we'd like you to let us do these things, and that's their business and your business. We would ask you to support 188 and 229. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Senator Burson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the testifier, I'm just wondering,
When we talk about addictive gambling, does the charities donate money to addicted gambling? Do the racetracks donate to addicted gambling? And how about the casinos?
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Lund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Ingebrigtsen. So since 2012, it was passed in legislation that charitable does make a contribution of 1% of our the money that comes in. So we do. I cannot speak for the tribes or the horse racing. I do not know what they do. But charitable does.
And that came in 2012?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, if I can just make one comment.
Senator Rickson.
I do recall this talk about addiction. In fact, Senator Hand and I had a very, very heated discussion, and as you recall, in the Finance Committee at that time about gambling. And at that time, the Minnesota State Lottery was the only portion of gambling in the state of Minnesota that was actually putting something towards addictive gambling. So there seemed to be being made the big boogeyman here in the room, and that's quite not the fact here. So as Senator Limber said, this was voted upon by the folks in the state of Minnesota, and until that changes, why it appears that they're running a pretty good operation, at least to me. So I would be against the movement today.
Sir Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question, probably to Mr. Sternowski. Straczynski. Thank you, Senator Lyons. My question is, are any of the retailers or gas stations, convenience stores, required to put these in if they want the play at the pump?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Miller, no, they're not required to do that.
And I think Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, a couple of questions. First of all, your Senator Cohen, Kunin, your bill we're considering right now has similar language in your next bill that was vetoed by the governor. Can you tell us, was your provision one of the reasons he vetoed it, or does the governor support this initiative and he vetoed the charitable gaming parts of the bill last year? I don't recall. Can you give us that update?
Well, Senator Kunin, if you have some direct information from the governor, fine. You're not, you don't have to guess, but if you can answer.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Westrom, when I met with the governor, he was concerned about the prohibition. However, he didn't tell me what he would do this year with either this bill or the other bill. He didn't specifically say what his action would be this year.
To that point, Mr. Chair, Senator Kunin, do you recall if his veto letter highlighted this as any part of the reason it was vetoed, or is that part being in the bill from last year not an issue that was flagged by the governor?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Lund would like to answer that question.
Okay.
Mr. Lund.
Chair. Senator, in the governor's veto letter,
yep.
His issue was with the two provisions bill, the charitable gambling bill, and that he said he did not have any issues with the parts that were specifically related to charitable gambling. It was the issue with the two lottery restrictions.
Okay. Which was the reason for the veto, if I understood you right. I mean, that was a part of the reason for the veto in the letter, if I'm understanding what you just told me.
Mr. Chair?
Mr.
Yes, Senator, that's correct.
Okay. Question maybe to Mr. Rice or to Mr. Straczynski. Mr. Straczynski, maybe I'll start with you, and Mr. Rice can comment as well. We are suspending contracts here. Senator Newman brought this up. Senator Goodwin, Senator Latz, what is your opinion of what the legislature would be doing? Because it does
appear to me on this glimpse we're taking in committee that we would have some legal challenges that we should expect. You said you have 54 retailers in your situation. Would they be satisfied and just want to walk away from this if we suspend it and not sue the state? Is that what you're representing to us? Or do you think there would be some legal issues that we should take seriously, both of you, if you could comment?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Westrum, I'm not an attorney. I haven't reviewed all of these contracts, so I don't know. I suspect that from the gasoline station owner's perspective, it would mean nothing to them, have no impact on them. This would be a discussion between the lottery, certainly, and their authorization of this, Link 3 as a particular vendor for the lottery, because that's what they are. They're another retailer, just like the gasoline station. So that issue would have to be discussed between them. And I don't really feel at all qualified to discuss contract law or anything of that nature. I don't think it's going to impact any retail gasoline station operations, certainly. But, again, so the legislature has to make up some mind. I think there is a contention that we've put forth a number of years ago with legislation that said the lottery shouldn't do this or didn't have the authority to do this, but they did. So it seems to me that you're in a position now of having to make a decision. If they had the authority to do that at the time, now we have to break contracts. That may be a different discussion than opposed to did they have the authority to enter all these contracts at the time. And there certainly is a large number of people here, including the lottery, saying that. But I think that's the management decision that was in play at the time. And what's the economic impact on that from a legal perspective? I don't know.
So if I can just clarify something you've said, and then Mr. Rice could comment, and I think I'm done. But Mr. Straczynski, you're saying the retailers, I thought you mentioned 54 of your retailers that have this play at the pump option. Do they not receive any compensation from Link 3 to be present in their pumps? Is this business relationship only between the lottery and them, and they can just walk out and pick what pumps they want to be on and they don't have to pay anybody? It seems to me that they would pay compensation to those retailers to be a part of their design and location, but am I understanding that incorrectly? You're saying those retailers don't have any financial benefit from Link 3 to be at their pumps. They just happen to be the ones they picked. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Westrum, they do have some benefit. The lottery currently pays the gasoline station retailer inside the store 5% as a commission. Plus, if you have a big winner, you get an extra spiff. Mm-hmm. At the pump, Link 3 is the retailer. They get the commission from the lottery. They also get a dollar for the transaction because it's a $10 minimum, so they get a dollar for that transaction, plus the 5% from the lottery. But they do pay the gasoline station owner 3%, so 3 cents on a transaction. So the gasoline station owner, and so what I was suggesting in my testimony specifically was, as of December 19th, there was at best 960 transactions. And if the gasoline station owner got 3 cents or 30 cents off of each transaction, the economic benefit to that gasoline station owner is not significant, and the revenues would not be missed by that individual or the lottery.
Okay.
I hope that clarifies.
It does. Thank you for that. Mr. Rice, on the suspension of contracts, if we were to move forward with this, it would suspend 130 days after it was enacted. Can you give us any additional comment on that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Westrum. Actually, your question raises something very interesting. Actually, there'd be two contracts suspended. Well, the Link 3 is with the lottery, and then Link 3 is actually another 60 contracts that Link 3 has with the stations. And to clarify a couple comments, Mr. Straczynski is incorrect. The payment is 5.5% on the sale of each lottery tickets that the retailer receives, but he is right that Link 3 has 3% of that going to the store owner. So the effect of this legislation 26 would be to suspend or I would say impair the contract Link 3 has with the state lottery, and it would also affect the contract that the lottery has with each of those 60 now retailers at the gas stations as well.
Truthful. So we've had a pretty lengthy conversation. A couple of other people have asked to ask some questions. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've heard a lot of discussion about whether or not we would be breaking contracts or not, but I think the other question could put on the other foot. Did the expansion of a lottery through the policy decision of the lottery board actually do that without authorization, and that would put the expense onto the state taxpayers? You know, when you go back to the original legislation, and it was not legislation, it was a referendum to the public, the question came up, should the Minnesota Constitution be changed to permit legislation to authorize a lottery operated by the state of Minnesota? That was the question. But the underlying legislation stated that if passed, it would authorize the legislature to establish a lottery with the use of the sale of tickets for the lottery. Now, the question is our internet sales, our ATM transactions, is that selling and buying a ticket for a future event to have something drawn, or is it not? Since there was no electronic digital mechanism to do that back when the referendum was originally considered by the public, I would say that anything that would go beyond the sale of a ticket by any other means would be an expansion of the state. Now, Senator Anderson, you brought up the question to the director of what kind of programs are there for those who have problem gambling. And the director said that they're the one and or one of the few, I want to make this correct, I'm paraphrasing, but one of the few isolated sources for that. But just keep in mind, they are mandated by law to spend that money. They aren't doing it out of the goodness of their policy directions independent of the legislature. We required that by statute to put that in. So the question comes up is, if they were removed, who's out there to handle the problem gambler in the state of Minnesota? And I think our resources are very slim during a time when we're thinking of expanding even more gambling of this nature.
Senator Lentz.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I just had a follow-up question about the secondary cost to the contracts. In the current testimony, the current fiscal note, it references about $12 million potentially in compensatory costs if the contracts were terminated or canceled. The fiscal note from the 2013-14 legislative session, the 2014 bill, mentioned a $2.5 million cost to the cancellation of the contract. Do we have any more information on why there's a difference there? The cost in 2014, if the cancellation had occurred?
Mr. Van Patten. I'm sure Mr. Van. Look, Mr. Van Patten.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Latz, Ed Van Patten again with Waters. The numbers last year were early numbers, very speculative numbers regarding expansion and sale. We had just launched the electronic instant ticket program. We had programs being developed at that time to cross-market electronic instant tickets with our retailers. For instance, you know, buy and get programs to try to drive business into their stores. So, again, the brand analysis, the ticket sampling programs, that kind of thing. It was early speculation and obviously was pretty wrong.
Holy shit.
The numbers we used this year were based more on the program as it has developed in actuality.
Mr. Chairman?
Chair Lance.
Mr. Van Patten. It just seems to me that, you know, whatever investment was made by the contractor was a sunk cost, and unless that investment increased
from $2.5 million to, you know, buy another $10 million in the last year. I mean, that's the difference I'm trying to ascertain here.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, yes, so those costs are ongoing for the vendors. Link 3 is you know, investing more and more in perfecting their program. We know that the investment, actual investments, are about $8 million for Link 3 and somewhere between $6 and $7 million for Scientific Games. I'm not saying we would have to reimburse all of those costs. Those are the numbers. I think that's why MMB this year did not include those types of numbers in the primary fiscal note. That the fiscal note this year primary applies to sales only, and the secondary potential costs are given in the other writings, I guess.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, so we've had a pretty lengthy conversation. Sir Miller, you have one last question.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one last comment. Maybe to Senator Coonan, I have concerns about the online portion, not so much the play at the pump. It sounds like retailers have that choice whether or not they want to offer those games, and if they feel that it's best fit for their business, then they'll do them and they'll make that investment, and if they don't want them, then they won't. So my question is, has there been any discussion or talks about maybe splitting this, where we take the online portion separate from the play at the pumps, or is this just a total package, all or nothing at this point?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Miller, I'm not quite sure I'm following your line of thought there, but the bill does still allow the drawing games online. I don't know if that's where you were going with this. You know, this language was in the bigger bill that was vetoed last year, and we decided to bring forward that same bill again. I don't know if I want to complicate the discussion anymore. Personally, I wouldn't mind taking a look at that aspect, too, but the bill doesn't do that, and we're not going to go down that road at this point. But I don't know for sure if I've addressed what you're getting at. If I haven't, try again.
Mr. Chair, that's fine. I was just, Senator, I have concerns about people just generally being able to gamble or purchase lottery tickets online. But the more I hear the testimony today, I'm having a difficult time hearing an argument against the play at the pump simply because it's the choice of the retailer whether or not they want to do that or not. If they don't, then they won't do it if they don't see any benefit to their store. But, Mr. Chair, members, I guess my concern is the online portion of allowing people to gamble online.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Zink.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Miller, thank you. I'd like to give you a little bit more insight into that, why we think that's a problem. It's true. It's voluntary. You can accept or not accept the equipment to put it in your location. Unfortunately, the equipment's not available to everybody. On the play at the pump, if you have a Radiant or a NCR system or many of the other operating systems, and you're already chip and pin compliant, you don't play at the pump's not available to you. And that's been the concern all along. Our initial legislation some years ago was that it has to be available to everybody at the same time. At that time, certainly it was given away for free. Not anymore. So what happens is while it's available to everybody, it's a competitive sort of issue. And let me show how you big versus small. The National Convenience Store magazine or newsletter last month talked about Murphy Oil is really excited about this now because they're going to do play at the pump at all our locations. Murphy Oil locations are Walmart. So we're concerned about all of that and concerned about a competitive factor. Now, if you've already gone chip and pin and you have a Radiant system, you can't get play at the pump. So that's where our concern is. This legislation is premature. It's not available to everybody. It's available to a few operating systems, but there's probably 100 different operating systems. This legislation, or this Play at the Pump Link 3 system, only interfaces with a few of those, not all of them. And for us, that's really problematic because it creates an anti-competitive environment for us, because if you do it, then I've got to do it, and it costs me money, and you know, we're just concerned about trying to avoid all of that. And that's why our association, who represents the big versus and the small, is supportive of this legislation. I hope that sheds a little light on it.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, just one follow-up. So to that point, and I understand the competitive part of that, do any of the convenience stores that you represent not offer Minnesota Lottery games inside the store?
Mr. Chairman, as far as I know, they all offer lottery games inside the store.
Quick question, Senator Patrick.
Mr. Chairman, I think there might be some misunderstanding about the length of the committee meeting this morning. I think a lot of us might have assumed 2 hours and have other appointments. I'm wondering if you might lay these bills over, since we've only done the first bill. We're not even on the second bill yet until the next time we meet, because I'm sure there is going to be more discussion and amendments and could go on for another couple hours.
Okay. Well, Senator Pappas, my thought was that at least on this first bill we were getting pretty close to a vote. I'm not aware of any amendments. I don't know if the committee would like to take any action on Senate File 188, but you're absolutely correct. We've had a very lengthy conversation. Senator Pappas, before you arrived, because I know you had a conflict earlier in the morning, I said that this would be kind of the exception to the rule in terms of the committee going on for quite a while, because of the new world here and the committee schedules, we're not going to have the opportunity we've normally had. But I think we've had quite a lengthy conversation about this bill, so I don't know that we need to lay it over at this point. I don't know if anybody wishes to move the bill or if people would like to take action on Senate File 188, but if there are no motions.
Do you want an motion?
Senator Stumpf?
I'd move it.
Okay, Senator Stumpf moves that Senate File 188 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Taxes. Is there further discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. There's a division been requested. All those in favor of the motion, raise your hand.
Keep your hand down.
And those opposed, raise your hand. On a motion of 10-8, the motion prevails. Now we do have the next bill, which has some similarities. Senator Pappas has indicated there are conflicts. Would members like to? Senator Kuna, would I be correct? This bill is not a dissimilar bill from the first, or what would members like to do? Would you prefer that? If it's going to be a lengthy conversation, we'll lay it over. But if it's going to be a similar discussion with much of the same testimony, we're just kind of reinventing the wheel.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you intend to talk about all the details in 229, but I just wanted to see if we could delete Section 26, which is the bill we just passed, so that the charitable gambling bill then would be kind of a clean bill, and it could be voted on in its own merits and not be tied up with a lottery issue.
Well, if we're going to have a discussion on the bill, first, Senator Saxon moves adoption of the division report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Senator Coonan, on Senator Pappas's suggestion, do you have any comment?
Mr. Chairman, in my opinion, I'd like to see the bill pass through just the way it is.
Okay. All right. Senator Stumpf.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move the – it's 229?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to offer an amendment to delete Section 26 before we move the bill.
Okay. All right. So, Senator Pappas,
on your motion.
I think that, is that correct, Mr. Bonner? Any more needs to be deleted?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Pappas, I think you'd want to pick up the change in the effective date as well. The last sentence in that effective date would need to be removed also. So it would be on. In addition to deleting Section 26, your motion could also include on page 13, line 29, delete everything after the period, and delete line 30, and provide instructions to staff to correct the internal references.
Senator Pappas, on your motion?
I incorporate that into my motion.
Okay. So we have Senator Pappas's motion on Senate File 229. Is there further discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion fails.
Mr. Chairman, can I have a division?
Okay. Division requested. All those in favor of Senator motions, Senator Coonan, again, you've expressed your opposition to the amendments.
That's right, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. So on Senator Pappas's
point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
We're in the middle of a division. Asking for testimony, I think, is out of line.
We're in committee, Senator Westrum. That would not be out of order. Okay, we have Senator Pappas's motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. If you could raise your hand. And those opposed. On a motion, on a vote of 10-7, the motion prevails. So now we have Senate File 229 as amended in front of us. Further discussion on that motion, on that bill. Senator Coonan, any further comments you wish to make?
Mr. Chairman, what remains of the bill then is the charitable gambling provisions.
Correct. Sarah Stumpf moves that Senate File 229 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to committee on taxes. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So that concludes the committee. Thank you very much, members.